that she wants to stay a little longer. Good morning, Holy Ones. I noticed that only the Holy Ones respond. So I'm going to give a chance for the other Holy Ones. Good morning, Holy Ones. It is wonderful to be in God's house without delay because our time is not at a scripture. I noticed that here at the pulpit that we realize that the scripture inside the bulletin is not the same as this one. This is the correct one that we intend for today. But if we, and my sister said it very well, you and I are living in the light, is it possible for somebody who does not choose to serve God to be in the light? It's not. They can pretend, they may assume, but it's not possible. The only way that we can be in the light if we are with Christ. As God is in the light, God is the light, He is in the light. And remember what the Bible says in the creation? The first thing that manifested in this earth was light. It was Himself. And He brought light to all of us as He created this world. Then we have fellowship with one another. Then here implies if we are in God, that's the only way we can have fellowship. There's no possibility for us to have fellowship because darkness and light cannot coexist. The same time as good and evil cannot be part of the same thing. The yin yang thing, it doesn't work in the Bible. It cannot be both together. And also the only way, the only thing that makes that possible is the gift of God. And you see that it was God's Son that provided us remission from all sins. Today we are together to celebrate communion. So what it says here, the title, The Birth of Oneness. And I try to put a title that provoke you to think. What does this has to do with communion? Communion is all about being one. That's all that is communion is all about. There is no possibility for us to have communion any other way. Now, there is one statement that I'd like to make, that everyone here, once that I put on the screen, after we read, if you agree, I want you to stand up. You're going to stand up, and then I'll tell you to sit down if you want. But feel free. I don't want to embarrass anybody. And please, don't look around to see if somebody else did not stand up, okay? You stand up, represent yourself. You are not entitled to require anybody else to stand up, okay? You stand up by yourself. This is what it says. Sola Scriptura, by Scripture alone. What do you see in the word alone? All is one. Okay? In other words, the whole Scripture is one. That's what it means. Scripture alone in the sense all in one. That's my stretch, okay? The doctrine that the Bible is the only infallible authority for our faith, and that is contains all knowledge necessary for salvation and holiness. If you agree with this statement, would you stand up? Because you stood up, I can tell you this. You have made one of the biggest statements as a Seventh-day Adventist. No one else could stand up for this claim. Please be seated. Why? Because those that follow doctrines that are not in the Bible, they cannot rely on sola scriptura. They may say, yes, we believe in the Bible, but when it comes to practice, unfortunately, that's not the case. So let's go through the Bible then. What is the first thing that appears in the Bible? Creation And in creation, God created oneness. Marriage. I like to look at marriage, and I see two words in marriage. I don't know how many of you have seen two words in marriage, but I see two words. You are married as you age. You know, when the longer you stay in marriage, the better it's supposed to be, the happier it's supposed to be, okay? So that's the way I see the word marriage. You are married as you age. What is marriage? A union established by God. What do you see in union? Always you and I. You see there, right in the heart of union, you and I. That's what marriage is all about. It's never me, me, me. There is no me in marriage. And also, when people say I, you end up like I. You know, you cannot be with this I business in marriage. Even though there is an I there in marriage, there is more in marriage than just I. So please understand that it's a union established by God. Now, in Genesis, it says, so God created human beings in his own image. Own is also imply one, okay? In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. This is verse 27. And then it says, therefore, man shall leave his father and mother. And I know there are a lot of families out there that are praying that their sons really leave. And it doesn't say in the Bible, a son who says, oh, but father, it doesn't say that I cannot come back. It just says to leave. And so they leave and they get a wife and they come back with the whole thing. And sometimes little, and be joined to his wife and they shall become one. What do you see in the screen? In the Bible says clearly, there is no communion between light and darkness. Why do some Christians sometimes go and marry somebody else that doesn't believe the way they believe? This is the problem. They are trying to put two things together that doesn't belong together. It doesn't matter how much you staple those two together, they were not made to be together. And it says, be ye not yoked unequally together with unbelievers. And then people say, oh, but a believer is a person who believes something. The Bible says that even the devil believes. If that means that you should marry a devil? No. Believer means believe in God, the way God wants us to be a believer. Now I have another picture, exactly the same thing, but this one I think will illustrate even better. What about this? Can you put a lemon with an apple and get a very happy marriage? Some people think that I like a half lemon in my life, that at least I can create a lemonade. All you're going to get is a very sour days in your life. Very, very one. So please be aware why I say this, even though there are some of you that did get married with somebody outside of the church. I say this because there are some young people here that we need to tell them the truth. And I say this is sensitive. Every time I say this, I feel like I'm hurting somebody that unfortunately they are in a marriage that is not, is unfortunate that they are in that situation. But I have to say this. God asked me to say this on behalf of these beautiful young people that are here that have not made that decision yet. Okay? So I'm not apologizing to those of you that can be hurt, but I am very happy that we have the opportunity to tell the young people, don't make that mistake. It's a price that is too high to pay. You're not only going to lose your salvation, but you're going to bring children to an environment that will be broken and everything is going to be a disaster. Believe me. Oh, there are a few exceptions, But this is not a lottery. Don't get into it, please. Since they are no longer two, but they become one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. What God has joined together, no one should interfere. Not the state of California or Arizona or any state. No one has the right to separate those that God brought together. By the way, in-laws too. In-laws should not become outlaws. They should not interfere in marriages. Okay, marriage, again, is the one established by God. Now, you see communion. The word communion is the word who defines a marriage in Christ. Every marriage here that has been married in Christ, it is a communion that was established by God. It is you and I. That's what marriage is all about, is a communion. Now, some people don't understand, why do we have, in a Seventh Adventist church, we have the foot wash as part of communion? Notice what I said? As part of communion. Some churches, even Seventh Adventist churches, got the whole picture wrong. They separate foot washing from the communion. And that is wrong. Foot washing and communion is the same. Why I'm showing you the baptism of Christ? Because communion for Christ is started in the beginning of his ministry. He spent 40 days and 40 nights fasting and praying. He was preparing for communion. And then when he was ready to start communion, he stepped inside of the water. And it was said, here is the Lamb of God. And John said, oh, no, you baptize me. And Jesus said, no, John, for the sake of all righteousness, I need to step on the water. I need to be here. And that's when communion is started. And you notice that he did this in the beginning of his ministry, and then what he did at the closing of his ministry. The foot washing and the bread and the wine. So it's all part of one. It's all part of communion. And what he did for the 3.5 years, all he did, look at all the miracles, everything he says, is all about how I motivate you to become one with the Heavenly Father. And I have the Bible text. The oneness established by God and water. Yes, the Bible says one baptism. How many? How many? Are you sure? Oh, I'm 100% sure. I'm crystal clear sure. The birth of communion. Anyone who believes and is baptized, remember Jesus started communion at the baptism. You start your communion at baptism. Anyone who believes and is baptized, they will be saved. The communion takes place. It becomes one. And then it says, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. They won't be part of the communion. The secret to be part of communion is to believe like Christ believes. He says, you notice in the word communion there, I put the eye very big. So who is that eye? It is Christ talking to you. He says, you and I. That's why I emphasize the eye in communion. Big, remember the color that I use for God in the screen, is always that it says, in communion is you and I. And if Christ is not there, there's no communion. The birth of oneness. For there is one God. How many? Only one. One mediator. How many?
One mediator.
Only one between God and man, and the man, Christ Jesus. I'm so glad that Paul said this, the man, Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about male. I'm talking the man means the human Jesus Christ. Beautiful picture, isn't it? It tells all. Now, Paul says also there is one body. What is the body that he's talking about? A church. And one is spirit. What is spirit is that? The Holy Spirit. And just as there is one hope to which God has called you. What is the hope? Salvation, eternal life. There is only one Lord. Who is the one who rules your life? One faith. One baptism. There is one God. And the Father of all of us that choose to believe, who is Lord of all. And it works through all and is in all. That's all about oneness. In Romans 12, it says, "For as we have many members, but only one body, but all the members do not have the same function," it says, "so we, being many, are one body in Christ, as individual members of one another." Brothers and sisters, the path to communion is Jesus Christ. I am the way. It says, I am the truth, and I am life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The only way you attain oneness is through Christ, and there is no other path. Those who eat my flesh, Jesus Christ said, and drink my blood, live in me, and I live in them. That's communion. That's oneness. The way to oneness, there's no other way. I remember when I was very small, I went to take catechism. And the lady told me, the lady that was teacher, the teaching, she said, when you come to the First Communion, when the priest takes the bread and you have to stick out your tongue, he will put the bread on your tongue and then you put it inside your mouth, but don't bite. And she said to me, and I believe her, I was scared. She said, if you bite, your mouth is going to be full of blood. Because that is actually Jesus Christ himself that you put in your mouth. And you know, when you are young, if you trust adults that are this lady is, and I trust that. Oh, believe me, I was so scared when I went for my first communion. And here comes the priest with the thing. And I put my tongue as out as I could. And he put the bread. And I went so careful because I didn't want to bite Jesus and have my mouth full of blood. I'm not making fun of them. I'm just telling you what happens to people when they don't have light. How impressive is the innocent mind, and they are willing to believe everything you tell them. And remember in that church, they did not give me the wine. I saw the priest drink all the wine by himself. But I did not get the wine. I did not get baptized either. Until I changed to another church. And then I was baptized. But so there was no water. Because I saw the priest drink the water too. You see, he had a cup with wine. He broke the because his bread is big. It was big. Mine was tiny little thing, but his was big. And he broke and he chewed that. How come there was not? I see the mind of a child. I said, well, how come there's no blood in his mouth? But those things, and I'm sharing this with you because you have realized that people has misunderstood so much the concept of what a communion is all about. And there are people here today that may not understand really what communion is all about. And that's why I'm taking the time to explain to you. Communion is not about this mysticism idea that we are actually eating the flesh of a human being. It's all a symbolism of what it means to be one. It's all. And there is no communion unless there is the step in the water. And then there is the bread. and then there's the wine. The wine cannot be fermented. Why? Because fermentation is a sign of decay, is a sign of death. And so that's why the wine is not fermented, and the bread does not have fermentation of bread either. And that's why the water has to be clean, and everything makes you clean if you participate. Father, I pray that they can be one. I'll make this my prayer today. Father, I pray that they may be one. That's the purpose. That's the only reason why you're celebrating, because you want to be one with God. As you are in me and I am in you, I pray that they can be one in us. Do you know what us stands for? United and saved. That's us. United and saved. That's us. Then the world will believe that you sent me. John 17:21. What do you do with you? What God will do with you? You know that you are in communion. You are in community. You are in church. But what about if we add another you? So let's put you plus, and the plus is the cross of Christ. And then there's another you. So what do we get if we add you plus you? Anybody would guess? We get W. Yes, that's all we get. If you add you plus you, if I add you and you and you, I get. But how do I get the E? Is the eternal one. He is the only one who can make you and you become we. And today we are here because of you and because of you and the eternal one. So we become we. That's what we are here all about. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ, they eat and drink judgment upon themselves. You cannot be darkness and embrace light, pretending to be part light, because without discerning what a light is, you cannot have the body of Christ in you. Thank God for His gift that words cannot describe. No words can describe. What an awesome gift that we have in Christ Jesus. In remembrance of me, is that's why we are here today. That's the word communion. Remember, in communion, you see you and I, as Christ saying to us. There is no communion without the water. There is no communion without the bread. There is no communion without the wine. The wine, unfermented, is new wine, okay, not old wine. Now, Christ's invitation, we find that in John, when he had finished washing their feet, Jesus Christ, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Then he asked them this question: do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. I wish that Jesus could have asked, do you understand what I'm about to do for you? It's not only what I have done, but what I'm about to do for you. And then it says, you call me teacher and Lord. Yes, that's what I am. And then he said, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, I am the Lord. I have shown you what it means to be a servant. You should be a servant of one another as well. You should wash. I was reading an article on the foot washing on other denominations. And I was this individual was explaining why foot wash is not necessary. Because it says Jesus was just setting them an example. But this person that was writing this article, forget, he skipped the word should. You see, this is not an option. It says, you also should wash. It's not like say, you may wash. Or if it's convenient, you do it. But if it's inconvenient, go home. Don't do it. It says, you should wash one another's feet. And then he says, why? I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. I'm Lord, I have become your servant. Now you become a servant to each other. And then you plus you will finally become we. And then communion will be there because it's you and I. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master. Nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. When people said there's no need for foot washing, I said, don't they read? It's so obvious. And by the way, you can read this in many different languages. It says exactly the same thing. A person who has been baptized needs only to wash his feet. Who said that? Jesus said this. To whom? To the one who somebody claimed that was the head of the church, which is not the head of the church, is Christ. He said to him, why? Because he says, no, Lord, I'm not ready for the foot washing. I don't want anything to do with the foot washing. And Jesus said to him, unless you participate in the foot washing that I'm providing, you have no what? No communion with me. No part with me. You won't become one with me. There is no union with me unless I am your servant, because as I chose to be your servant, I'm also your Lord. I'm all that you need. Peter said, oh, so if that's the case, baptize me again. And he says, no, you don't need baptism again. You walked, you took a little dirt in your feet, in your spiritual experience. You did a few things. All you need is just to confess your sins and use this foot washing as a renewal of your baptism commitment, your birth, new birth. Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Please, let this be always in your mind. Unless Jesus Christ washes you, you cannot be part of oneness. You cannot have true communion in Christ. That's why before communion, we always have a moment of preparation. So before you go to the foot washing, I do strongly recommend that you make a personal prayer. Ask God for forgiveness to cleanse your life. So as you participate in communion, you truly become you plus you. You become we with Christ. Amen. At this time, we're going to be separated to go to different locations. As your bulletin describes, chapel is this room here, the multipurpose room. Who is going to be there?